Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And hello, I'm Kate Spencer.
Well, hello. And we're not experts.
Nope, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums. But today, we're going to talk about cleansers.
OMG.
Did you cleanse your face already today, Dori?
I did. I cleansed it in the shower, which I know Caroline Hirons frowns upon, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
If you want to tell us about your face cleansing routine, you can leave us a voicemail or a text message at 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. Once you join the main group, you also get access to more than 100, that's right, 100 spinoff groups. So go check that out. And if you like the show, we always do appreciate a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. Just a quick reminder that all products, including all the cleansers we're going to be mentioning, are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on the old Twitters at forever35pod.
Well, here we are, Dori, sitting on a gold mine of information.
Truly. Now, I guess we should share it with our listeners. That's what we're here for.
We will be generous with this info, especially because this info was shared with us by our listeners. So
yeah, so let's back up a little bit.
Okay. And
give everyone the lay of the land. We get asked about cleansers a lot. We don't always have a great answer. We've had some faves over the years, but there seemed to be a desire for a definitive cleanser analysis, breakdown, recommendation. So we decided to let the listeners do the work. And you all answered a survey. You told us which cleansers are your favorites. Our erstwhile project manager, Sam, tallied up those responses, and we have this list for you. So here's what we're going to do. Now that we have this list, this very important list that you all have weighed in on, Kate and I are going to be the final arbiters.
Oh, we are?
Yes. Of which cleanser shall reign supreme.
I've tried some of these already.
Yeah, but we're going to have to go back and try them again. It's going to be like a taste test. You know what
I mean? There's going to be bottles strewn around our bathrooms.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like we should be doing this blind. Like, we shouldn't know what we're putting on our faces. We should decant everything.
Oh, shit. That's a great idea. Okay, let's have a little meeting when we finish this episode and figure out how we're going to execute that. But yes, Dori, you're right.
Right? Because I feel like, you know, We may think we're objective, but we see a pretty bottle, a pretty jar.
I'm very swayed by brand, price tags.
By price tag, by brand. We're like, oh, I like this brand. It's going to be great. Or like, eh, I don't really like this brand. It probably sucks. And like that influences us. That's how influence works.
So we're going to take influence away.
We are.
Well, we've got our work. We've got our work cut out for us because
we do.
We've got a top 15 here. We may need to narrow this down or it's going to take like 3 years.
Well, you know, we got nothing but time.
That's true. We are in quarantine.
Exactly. Well, the reason we have a top 15 is because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cleansers tied for 8th place.
I wonder if we should have like a runoff.
Oh, of all the ones in 8th place and then like the top two make it, because we also have 2 tied for 5th. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. So we would have, we take the top two from the everyone tied from 8th place and they would make it to the next round. I like that. I like that idea.
So shall we get into this list here?
Let's do it.
So you want to start from the bottom or the top?
Oh, I like starting from the bottom. Make it real dramatic.
Okay. So let's just knock out these 7 that are currently tied for 8th place.
And we should also say that there were many more recommended. Like even just making it to the top 15.
Oh, I think there were
should be commended.
Yes, there was over 150, I believe.
Yeah. So, listen, cleansers, if you got this far, you're really doing something right.
We're proud of you. It's not about winning. All right, we don't want any cleanser to feel bad.
Wait, it's not about winning?
No, it is. But I'm trying to make the cleansers. I'm trying to make the cleansers feel good about themselves.
Look, I think all these cleansers already feel good about themselves. We don't need to stoke the egos of these cleansers.
All right, Dory.
Yes.
Rounding out the bottom.
Yes.
We've got 7 cleansers tied for 8th place.
Yeah.
Cetaphil Daily Cleanser.
Yeah.
Clinique Take the Day Off Cleansing Balm.
Yep.
First Aid Beauty Pure Skin Face Cleanser. Mm-hmm. Indi Lee Brightening Cleanser.
Yep.
One Love Botanicals Botanical B Enzyme Cleansing Oil. Mm-hmm. And then La Roche-Posay Effaclar Medicated Gel Face Cleanser for Acne Prone Skin, followed by La Roche-Posay Tolerain Hydrating Gentle Cleanser.
Okay.
Well, hello, La Roche-Posay. Look at you.
Look at you, La Roche-Posay.
Okay, so looking at this list, I have obviously tried Cetaphil many times in my life, and I've also tried Clinique Take the Day Off Cleansing Balm, which is a very nice cleansing balm.
You know, I've used Cetaphil in my past life. I don't believe I've used any of these others.
Well, you're about to.
I know. I'm intrigued. I also like it's a mix of, you know, some drugstore brands, the Cetaphil,
La Roche-Posay.
Yeah, La Roche-Posay. You can get it at Target. It's like one of Target's more expensive brands, though. But First Aid is like, First Aid, Clinique, Sephora brands.
One Love Botanicals. Like
And Indi Lee is a lovely brand that we've tried some of their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Indeed we
have. All right.
All right. Well, congratulations to you.
In 7th place, we have the Vanicream Gentle Facial Cleanser. Have you used this?
No, I've only used Vanicream's lotions.
Yeah, I haven't used this either. I'm intrigued.
I'm excited personally. Because my daughter and I were just applying some Vanicream before bed just the other night from our big Vanicream tub. And we love it. So I feel like they've got to really deliver in the cleanser zone.
Totally. I'm with you. Do you want to take this next one?
Number 6, Youth to the People Superfood Antioxidant Cleanser.
I like Youth to the People.
So I have tried this, but just once. You actually bought me this. I don't know if you know this, but you bought me. You gave me a little gift bag.
Was this in my shower gift bag?
Yes. This is what a nice kind of friend Dory is. She gave the hosts of her baby shower presents. And in my little present bag was a bottle of this cleanser. And I tried it and I liked it. And then one of my kids broke the bottle in the shower. And that was the end of that. It comes in a glass bottle. So,
I never knew that.
It's okay because the end of the story ends with me trying it again right now.
Good.
So
yes.
I'm glad it made it to the list.
Me too. All right. Pharmacy Green Clean Cleansing Balm. I feel like this is a Kate Spencer fave.
Yeah, I've used this. I like it. I like it. This is a good one. And this in the Clinique. Those are, they're both very nice cleansing balms.
Yeah.
All right. Now here's a...
Wait, and we should say the pharmacy and this next one are tied for fifth place.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for clarifying, Dory. You're and I should welcome. Say this other fifth placer, I didn't even know existed. Did you?
Yeah, I've never used this.
Drunk Elephant, bestie, number 9, jelly cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea. I just, you know, I feel like the oils and the serums kind of take a lot of the shine for Drunk Elephant, and the cleanser's just kind of left in the shadows. So,
yep.
Welcome to the big time.
It looks lovely, though.
Listen, we'll find out.
We will find out. All right. In fourth place, I was surprised by this. I'm just going to put that out there because I feel like this is a classic. The Fresh Soy Face Cleanser. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised because it is a classic. But I say that in the sense of like it's an old standby. And it was like heartening to see that people are still using it and recommending it.
It's interesting because I have this very vivid memory of years ago going into Sephora and being like, what face cleanser should I buy? And the salesperson being like, our number one bestseller is this Fresh Soy Face Cleanser. For some reason, of all the memories I could have maintained in my brain, it's this interaction with someone at Sephora about this cleanser. So it is a bit of a legend.
Yeah. Yeah. It is legendary.
Yeah. Okay. Number 3. COSRX Low pH Good Morning Gel Cleanser.
Another Kate fave.
This is an icon from the early days of the Forever 35 podcast.
Yes.
This once I was doing, I did a show in St. Paul, Minnesota with our friend of the pod, Nora McInerney, and a listener brought me a bottle of this cleanser. That now didn't. They're like, this didn't work for me, so I brought it for you. But I was like,
that is a fam.
It was so sweet, but I had a carry on, so I couldn't. Oh. I had to give it back to them. But this is a great listen. You know, I love this cleanser. Mm-mm-mm.
I know you love this cleanser, and I tried that cleanser, didn't love it. So I'm curious how it's going to fare in the blind cleanser test.
What if it's your favorite? What if we find out? I cannot wait. Okay. All right. Two more, Dory.
Okay. Number 2. The Glossier Milky Jelly Cleanser. I know a lot of people love this cleanser.
I like Glossier's cleanser. I used a bottle of this once, and I
did too.
Enjoyed it.
Same. I was like, this is nice. Kate, do you want to take number 1? I feel like you should.
Okay. Are you going to drum roll it, Dory?
I don't have my drum.
That was an A for effort.
Oh, wait. You know, I think, wait, I do have some drums.
Tori. What was
that? Not quite a drum roll, but a drum.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. Number 1 audience pick. Favorite cleanser. CeraVe Hydrating Facial Cleanser. Hello, CeraVe. Coming in hot.
This was number 1 by like a long shot.
Yeah. This really was. I mean, yeah. What else is there to say? CeraVe just takes it away again.
Yep.
Now, will we like it in our blind skin test?
I don't know. Only time will tell.
I'm really excited. I cannot wait to try all of these.
I know. It's very exciting.
All right. So stay tuned as we progress with this list and picking a favorite. And we should really extend a hearty thank you to all of you who submitted your cleanser picks.
Yes, it's greatly, greatly appreciated.
We couldn't do this without you.
We really couldn't. And then we also just want to give a shout out to the top 10 brands that were mentioned. But a lot of these had multiple cleansers mentioned, which is why some of them didn't make the top 15 overall.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to, you know, recognize that these brands are doing a great job. So
thank you, brands.
Thank you, brands. Drunk, starting from the bottom, okay. Number 10, Drunk Elephant.
Number 9, coming in hot, but without a fave to make it into the top product, Acure. So many Acure users out there.
And number 8, Trader Joe's.
Woo!
But again, multiple entries that people, it seemed like people just couldn't agree.
Yeah. Too many good products at the old TJ's. Neutrogena. Well, hello. Welcome.
At number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, La Roche-Posay. Now, La Roche-Posay was able to overcome having 2 entries because they were in that tied for 8th, those 2 entries.
They really did it. They did the work.
They did.
All right. What is this? Number
5?
Pharmacy. So in addition to the Green Clean Cleansing Balm, which made it into our product list, the Clean Bee Gentle Cleanser was also mentioned.
Mm-hmm. COSRX at number 4.
But of course. All right. Number 3, a brand we both love.
Yep.
Sad to see it not make it into the top product item, but Tatcha, because Tatcha has so many great cleansers.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, in a way, if you had multiple great cleansers, that kind of hurt you.
Kind of did. They have the Camellia Oil Cleanser, the Rice Wash, something called the Deep Cleanse, which I've never tried, and then the Rice Powder, which I like a lot.
Number 2, Glossier.
Look at you, Emily Weiss. Building an empire.
Really, really made good.
Yeah, you finally have made it.
Started from the bottom. Now she's here.
Shout out to her, man. She's created a legit empire. And then number 1, Dory.
Mm-hmm.
Yield CeraVe.
Yeah, with 2 that people liked. But the hydrating facial cleanser was the one that was number 1 on our overall list. But people also recommended the foaming cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
So that will not be one that Kate and I are testing, but it was mentioned.
But we see you.
We do see you, Cetaphil. No, not Cetaphil. What the hell am I talking about? We do see you, CeraVe.
We do. Well, Dory, this has been a blast. I can't wait to dig into this more.
Oh, neither can I.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will be talking to comedian, author, podcaster extraordinaire Arden Marine.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs.
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
Drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Our guest today is a real treat and a real delight. It is actress and comedian Arden Marin. Arden, hello, and welcome to Forever 35.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love serums, and I love you ladies, so I'm delighted to be a guest.
Aww. Well, you know, I should have also said you are an actress, you're a comedian, and you are also an author, because you have a new book that just came out. So let's read your bio to let everybody know exactly who you are.
I love it.
Arden is someone you may know from the Netflix show Insatiable or Shameless, or over 100 appearances on Chelsea Lately. She also hosts a very popular podcast called Will You Accept This Rose, which, yes, is about the Bachelor franchise on iHeartRadio. And she is now an author. Her comedic memoir, Little Miss Little Compton, just got released on September 29th and is available wherever you buy your books. And we're so glad to have you here.
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this. And thank you so much for welcoming me into your warm podcast.
I mean, Arden, I feel like you also have to have like decorator in your bio.
Yes. You know what? I love design. I'm a design nut. And if I could clone myself, I actually had a dream about that last night. I feel like this was my dream where if I could clone myself, Because I have people have hired me to do their houses, and I contracted and designed my own little house, and I love design. I love doing it, but I don't know. Just time wise, it's really just a time thing. But I love doing it, so I'm available if somebody has cash and wants to pay me.
And I say that because we both saw the article that the LA Times wrote about you and your house. With all these amazing pictures of your adorable, adorable house. I'm obsessed with it.
Oh my God. Thank you. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Design makes my tail wag like that to me. That's some self-care stuff for me where, you know, I feel like life is hard enough and that you should come home to a space. And look, we're not going anywhere now anyway. So if you're existing full time in a space, that it should make you happy and that it doesn't have to be expensive, you know, because you got to paint your wall anyway. So just finding ways to that it should be joyful and fun and chic, but like mostly like relaxing and that, and it was, I love doing it. I love the puzzle of, I feel like each space tells you what it is, you know, like it's each space is different. Like I love it.
Well, we will link to the article in the show notes so everyone can see your beautiful home.
Thanks, Dory.
Yeah, it's enviably gorgeous. And the fact that it's self-care for you is interesting to me because that is something that I would find like the opposite of, it would be like stress, self-stress. But but that's just me. But I'm curious, like, what does it feel like for you to get to kind of look at this puzzle of a space? Does it provide you with like something else to think about? Is it relaxing? Is it invigorating? How does it make you feel?
It wakes me up. It makes me like excited and crazy and obsessed. Like it's like makes the equivalent of how you feel when you're binge watching a show. Like it takes over my brain and it distracts me and I'm really fast. It's all instinct and it feels freeing because, you know, if you sell a pilot to a network or something, it's all notes and it's all kind of watered down and it's all compromised. And like this is me not asking permission from anyone. And just building the puzzle of I love math and I loved like, you know, it has to be proportional. It all has to fit together. You can't just throw everything you love together because it may not work. You know, I enjoy figuring because I like jigsaw puzzles. I like crossword puzzles. So I like sort of figuring out like, what's my showpiece? Like, so in that room, the main thing was the wallpaper, you know, and that it has to be in relation, almost like with good improv. Like you can't just steamroll the scene. Like it has to be in conversation with the other stuff that's in the room. So I love it. And it feels awake in a way like I felt like when I was a little kid playing with things and you would just lose track of time.
You mentioned that you love serums. Do you apply this like savvy, frugal mind to your skincare routine? And we would love to know any favorite products you want to share with us.
Thank you so much for asking. I also want to say I do high and low in my house. I'm a fan of high and low. So like,
So are we.
Lamps were IKEA, but I spent on the wallpaper. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's you pick and you choose. Like I have a lot of World Market things, a lot of Target things, a lot of IKEA things, but then a lot of my expenses were wall coverings and then were the furniture. I got my like big treat items were generally from Anthropology, and then I would buy them all at once. You only pay for one shipping, and I would wait till it was like, you know, Memorial Day sale or whatever. And so you get like the extra 30% off, like, but make sure you get it all in one day. So you only pay one shipping fee.
Hot tip.
And it takes months to get it. So like order, like if you want it, order it like a year in advance because it's going to take forever to get it, just to say. So I'm high low. I will spend on things and then I will go cheapy cheap on things. But I'm a high low gal. Okay, I brought my products out with me on a tray to talk to you because I'm so excited.
Oh, yes.
Okay, now I know you guys you don't do these anymore. I've heard you say this. So I am in the, so I was getting cystic acne starting at like 35. I started getting it when I was touring, doing stand-up a lot, and I would sleep on airplanes on my hand, on my chin. I would sleep with my face on my hand. And then I would get all this cystic acne around my upper neck and my chin and jawline area, and I couldn't get rid of it. And I tried facials. I tried, you know, everything. And then I swear by the Biologique Recherche Lotion P50. It has to be the 1970 original.
Whoa.
Oh, the hardcore stuff.
It has to be. I'm like, that acne, and I have not broken out since. And this has been 4 years.
Wow.
Once I found it.
I love me some P50. Don't get me wrong.
What is it? What is it? I've heard you talk about it. I'm like, oh, this is a thing. Like, what is it?
Like, what's in it?
Yeah, like, is this the only company that does P50? Are there other P50s?
There's Pixi Glow Tonic, which people say is like a dupe for P50.
Yeah, there are certainly comparable products, but I think if you speak to a real diehard user, there is no comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, as a person who could not stop getting gigantic underground volcano cystic acne, I have not had it since.
Wow. That's amazing.
To me. And I feel like it's kept my skin kind of tight. Like, I swear by this.
Well, listen, you are a woman like us in her 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we love some tight skin.
And I'm a ginger child, like with dyed blonde hair, living in a desert environment that wants to give me freckles and age spots. And I'll take whatever I can get. Speaking of which, so then I discovered for a sunblock, and my friend who's a surfer, it's a little tin can called EIR Surf Mud Broad Spectrum SPF 30 that I put on every day.
Ooh.
On my face and my neck. And you got to do the neck, ladies. Don't forget your mm-hmm. neck. Neck is no. key, because once you lose your neck, it's hard to get your neck back. The EIR Surf Mud, because I found I was putting on other sunblocks that were making me tear up. And this stuff is so thick that I feel like I haven't gotten it. It actually has protected me from the sun, which I feel like nothing else actually did.
Wow, I've never heard of this product before. This is exciting.
Me neither. I can't believe we're not on Zoom. I wanted to show you everything, but you know what? I'll take a picture.
Please take a photo, please. We will post it on the
okay,
gram.
Yes, and then for my lotions and potions, you know, as far as I've really asked around to the makeup artists, and this is all I'm sure old news to your well-versed listeners who know way more than I do. I know that you all know way more than I do, so I'm fairly basic, but it works for me. So I've asked all the makeup artists that I've worked with on sets, and I'm like, I don't want to spend, I can't afford La Mer. I'd love to have it. I wish I had it. I can't afford it. What is a $30, a $25, what's a moisturizer that'll last, that's great? And I love Embryolisse Lay Cream Concentrate. And I have started adding in a little Drunk Elephant retinol cream at night, every couple days. And that feels nice for the old wrinkle lines.
Arden, let's talk about your book, because you wrote this really funny but also very raw and personal memoir all about your life from childhood to present day. What made you want to really get into it and put it out there for everybody to read?
That's a good question. you know, I felt like I love reading about people's upbringings. I mean, David Sedaris to me is my number one fave ever. But like, I wanted to make people laugh. I wanted to make, you know, I grew up in this quirky household. My parents married on a dare. They weren't dating. They met in New York City. They were coworkers. And one New Year's Eve, everybody got 2 weeks vacation a year, and they were out having cocktails with coworkers, and they figured out that if you like somebody, they were just basically trying to screw over the man. And they figured out that if you went on a vacation, on a honeymoon, if you got married, you got an extra 2 weeks vacation. So my dad dared my mom, who was not his girlfriend. They'd never been on one date. And he was like, hey, Janet, how about you and I get married? I'll take us down to South America for a month. We can come back for and we'll get it annulled.
As one does.
He's like, we'll come back. We'll get it annulled. And so she agreed. They looked for a Bible to swear on, like that they weren't going to back down from this dare. And they found a cookbook. So they swore on a cookbook. And then the next day my mom called him back and she was like, okay, I'll do it, but I don't want to get it annulled. And then she had a date that night. She went on it and she said she made out with that guy because she thought it might be the last man that she ever made out with.
Oh my God.
Who then later called the week and like her roommate answered and she was like, oh, Janet's engaged. And the guy was pissed. And they had a proper wedding. My grandparents never knew. Like 6 weeks later, she borrowed her best friend's name was Arden. She borrowed her wedding dress. They went on this 4-week honeymoon. And then when they had kids, my mom didn't grow up in the city and she was like, she didn't want to raise city kids. And he said, well, the only other place I will live is Little Compton, Rhode Island, which is why the name of the book is Little Miss Little Compton. So it's this, and so they moved to this, you know, these two people who married on a dare and stayed married for 50 years, moved to this tiny town with a general store. And like literally the only store is a general store. So it's like when people go, is it like Schitt's Creek? I'm like, Schitt's Creek had a motel. Like Schitt's Creek is where you would dream of getting out to. You know what I mean? Like we're talking literally the town criminal was a crow that was like stealing mail from mailboxes named Poe the Crow. It was a pet crow that they put under house arrest. Like she was an indoor crow. So I, you know, and then I had this wonderful mother and this pretty salty, fairly verbally abusive dad. And I wanted also young people like if they grew up, you know, with maybe somebody saying some not so nice things about them, to know that not only can they not have that define them and not have them like completely be their like story for the rest of their life, but that they can have a joyful, that they can thrive, that it doesn't have to define who they are. And then, you know, Kate, like, we share this in common, but like I found out I sold it on the way, my mom died suddenly. And on the way, I've been trying to sell this book for years. And on the way to her funeral was when I got the email that I sold the book. They were like, hope you're happy. So then I wanted to also just normalize grief a little bit. So there's a bunch in there. It's a full bouquet.
Well, let's first talk about your relationship with your dad, because you mentioned he was, you know, really distant and verbally abusive and never spoke to you in a way that built you up. It was a lot of kind of putting you down. And I would love to hear advice you might have for people who might have a similar relationship with a parent, even if as adults right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those parent-child relationships, I have found at least, they almost stay the same even as we grow older. And that's can be so challenging.
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, my dad passed away the year before my mom. And I will say we never had that, like it, we never had that sort of come to Jesus conversation of like, I'm sorry, daughter. You know, like it never happened. And so I would say to anybody out there, you know, for me, I'll just say what sort of worked for me. It was when there was, I think, many years of beating my head against the wall of like trying, you know, it's natural like to want to have a connection with a parent, to want to try to find like, maybe I'll just like, maybe if I just act like this, or if I approach them with this, or if I call at 11 a.m., or if maybe I could take them on a trip. Like for me, I had to sort of get into acceptance of like, okay, this may not happen. This is probably not going to happen. And then also starting to see like, all right, I'm powerless over the fact that I grew up in this household. Like, you know, I flew into this house. So my gut feeling is this is how he would have treated any daughter that he had. So perhaps it's not personal. Perhaps I just happened to fly into this house and I was within the range of his eyesight. And maybe it really was predetermined and had absolutely nothing to do with me. And then but he was still married to my mom. So it was like who I adored. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to, I want to have a relationship with her. So, and she's married to him. So I had to really figure out just for my own sanity and was like, okay, it became like, okay, well, I guess I'll just chat. Like I couldn't talk about my career with him because he was always like belittling. So it was sort of like, what can I talk about? Like, and it was always trial and error. I was like Lucy and Charlie Brown in the football. It was like for a while, it was like news, weather and sports. And then it just literally just got down to weather, you know? So like of just when he would sort of try and engage, he was particularly rude about my career and particularly taunting and would try to hook me in and then would just be, I think he was competitive or threatened or whatever. Yeah. And so I would learn to, for me, just learn to deflect and change. Because whenever I would get in there and battle, it's like, I'm not going to win. I'm not like, I'm just going to be the one that's getting battered. And then, so it's, I would learn to go, well, what's up with you? Have you gone and seen, like, I would just sort of Jedi mind meld. And I would realize I was really only dealing with talking to him because I was visiting my mom or because I'd called my mom. Mm. So it was like, so I wasn't really actively pursuing him. But the few times he was really out of line, you know, I had to, for me, I would stand up to him in a way. I always have delayed reactions. And so, you know, it was always such a sucker punch and he was so good at it and so mean. And I in the moment, I'm not somebody, you know, when I would tour doing stand up, I'm not somebody that's going to deal with a heckler by tearing them a new one. That's not who I am. And nor do I want to be. That's just not who I am. And so I would allow the fact that it's okay for me to have delayed reactions. And like, you know, he would say something terrible. Like I was, you know, my now husband, when we started dating, when he met him, he was like, so Dan, are you getting any? I mean, it was so inappropriate. And like, I was just so stunned, like who, that's so disgusting. And so it took me, you know, I was so upset. And then like, I realized like I waited a couple of days, I talked to a bunch of people and then I went back and learning to give somebody one benefit of the doubt and going when I'm not at an 11, when they can hear me, I was like, hey, you know, maybe you didn't realize because I have never stood up to you or said this to you when you did it. But when you ask somebody that I'm dating, if they're getting any, that's so incredibly degrading to me, incredibly inappropriate. And I know I didn't say it in the moment, but I'm going to ask you to never speak about me like that to anyone, and particularly not to somebody I'm dating in front of me. And his hand started shaking. He was like, is that it? I was like, yeah, that's it. And then, you know, he didn't say anything, but he never did that again, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was, for me, learning I'm not a great fighter in the moment. I don't have great verbal battle skills, but like going to my safe people, organizing my thoughts, knowing that it's not too late to go stand up to somebody and say, going in calmly and saying, one benefit of the doubt, maybe you didn't realize because I haven't, you know, and I would hope that if I've done something, you would let me know. But I have to tell you when you say this, that's not acceptable. And that's how I would recommend. That's what worked for me. It's like not expecting to have, giving yourself the dignity and it's okay to have a delayed reaction. That it's okay to go back after the fact, even if it's years later and saying, I know I didn't say something, but I just need to let you know because I want to have a relationship with you. You know, maybe you didn't know, but like I've thought about this and I just have to tell you because I want to have a relationship with you, but I didn't like that. And you know what? They may or may not, you know, he didn't apologize, but he didn't do it again.
Yeah, that's such good advice.
Yeah. It was hard. I mean, trust me. You know, I hope nobody out there has to have those, but I know the reality is that lots of people have people like that, you know? Yeah, so yeah. I hope for everyone's sake that you don't ever have to use those words, but that really allowing that, like, it's okay no matter how much time has passed and that you can do it with dignity and you can do it calmly and on your time and you can gather your thoughts and you can, and you're doing it for yourself, you know, like that.
I know you said that, you know, you never had the big come to Jesus moment with him, but do you feel like you've gotten closure on your relationship with him? And like, what did you have to do to get there?
Oh my God. Yeah, for sure. I really, you know, in some ways, some of his rudest things he said to me, in a weird way, were a gift of like, oh my God, like, this has never been about me, you know?
Yeah.
This is like, oh my God. And then when I realized that, I was like, oh, wow, there's a chance, like, there's a chance that I, like, you know, and I also, for many years, I would say the biggest damage of growing up with him is I felt like people would meet me at a party and think that I was sort of fun, but I felt that I was intrinsically unlovable, which was, I think, the biggest damage of growing up with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was many years of therapy, many, many groups of things. And there's all sorts of groups out there that people can join, and of doing the work of realizing, oh my God, like, there's a possibility this has never been true. Like, that I've always right. been lovable. Like, oh my God, this is like, it was, you know, and that you get self-esteem by doing esteemable acts and going, you know, I write about, and I, Kate, I loved your book. Like, I read your book when my mom died. And, you know, I would say, like, for me, losing both parents back to back, like, one of the gifts of grief was, which I write about in the book, like, and is, I feel like I'm such a people pleaser that having, you know, I felt like I had no skin on me, and that it was very clear to me who I wanted to be with and who I didn't want to be with, and what seemed fun and what didn't seem fun. Like, my body would have a visceral reaction when people would reach out or I would get an invitation, and starting to realize, like, oh, I have good instincts. I just never, you know, I never let myself listen to them. I would always go, oh, I should do that. I should do this. Oh, I really like, and actually allowing, you know, no, go where the love is, go with who feels good, figure out what makes your tail wag, what is joyful in your life, like, and that it can start where you are, grow where you're planted, and that it's like, okay, you know what, like, I don't feel good when I am around him, like, he didn't make me feel good, and I don't think he liked himself, you know, and
yes,
so there was something to, I think I had to grieve that relationship in life, like, well before he passed away.
Yeah.
And then I was surprised when he died how much grief there was, like, just because I felt like I'd already done that work years ago. I was surprised at the grief of what was like a failure to launch, of just what never happened.
Right.
But then your mom was this amazing force in your life, and then you lost her a year later, and you write about that in your grief so beautifully, and as you said, we share that shitty thing.
I mean, truly, it was dad, mom, pandemic. Like, but
yeah,
that you could,
brutal.
Yeah, that's that you
brutal.
Could still have joy. Like, that there's still joy. I mean, you know, that was last year, and it was still a great year. I mean, that was that. I have to say, I feel like in adulthood, I've learned that I can hold two opposing feelings at once. Like, I could be grieving and I could still like laugh and have an adventure with safe friends and have a good time and make beauty out of it. Like, writing the book, you know, was a beautiful, like, I felt like I was showing my friend, she was barely in the proposal, and then it became her book. Like, it completely changed the, my friend said, it's not my memoir, it's my mom-war. Like,
yeah,
she knew
I love
my,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, you know, and I actually, it was actually lovely to write the book. It felt happy. It wasn't until I finished, I don't know if you had this, Kate, but like when I finished writing it, I burst into tears because I felt like my conversation with her was done. Like, did you have that?
A little bit. Yeah, it was reliving so much.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, mm-hmm. and we're going to support that journey for you. as Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
We can't not talk about The Bachelor because
you
host an amazing podcast about The Bachelor. You write about The Bachelor as self-care, especially when you were grieving and what it meant doing the podcast to you. You also have a picture of you and Dean Unglert in your book, who is just, I mean, dreamy blue-eyed Dean. What does The Bachelor mean to you in terms of self-care and caring for yourself?
Thank you for asking. The Bachelor to me, I didn't start watching until 5 years ago. And I remember my husband was like, oh, you should watch tonight. And I was like, I have a life. I'm not going to watch The Bachelor. And then, of course, here I am so deep in. I love that it has nothing to do with my real life. I love the gaming aspect of it. So my first season was Caitlin's season, who I think she is a terrific bachelorette. I don't watch sports, but I love the aspect of like, who's going to go to finals? Who's going to be drunk on the first night? Who's going to have the crazy family? Like, who's going to make it to fantasy suites? Who's going to be the villain? So we do draft picks on the podcast, which is super fun. And I actually really I preferred it before Instagram got really popular because I actually did want people to find love and not just come on to become influencers. Like, I really did hope somebody fell in love. That's why I like Paradise, because it's so funny, but then you actually do see these quirky love stories happen. So I am rooting for people, but I love that it's all consuming. It's a distraction from my life. It's a fun game. For me, it's social, so I can chat about it with people. I never read spoilers. I love trying to figure out who it's going to be. I write about this in the book, but like both of my parents died during Bachelor seasons. On like my mom died on a Thursday, my dad died on a Saturday, and so like the Bachelor was airing on a Monday night, and so I had to debate whether or not to still. I decided to still do the episode, and again, I'd never actually been that honest about my real life. I've always been fairly private, even in stand up. I've not really revealed too much of my real life on stage or anything. And so there was no hiding the fact that I was in my family den both times. And I was nervous that it would scare people or that it was too much, people who just came in, you know, wanting a fun Bachelor podcast and then getting like, I thought they might be freaked out that I still did it. And the opposite was actually true. And then the listeners, I would talk about both times my experience on Grief Island and what I was doing for myself, like watching the Great British Bake Off or Queer Eye and going on walks or whatever. And like, people would email in how much they appreciated that that was the only podcast about The Bachelor and grief. So like, you know, that again, like you just never, I think that also helped me get brave enough to write the book. I think the podcast and my experience with that was a big part of going, oh, not only are people not scared when you get real, like they rise to meet you. Like they're the ones who like they like it because they have stuff too. You know, I think people hear something of themselves. So
Well, your book is wonderful and
thank you.
And as you said, mostly very funny. And even the hard moments you approach with such humor and grace. So we recommend everyone pick it up. And Arden, where else can our listeners experience all the magic that you have to offer?
Oh my God, thank you so much for asking. Well, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Arden Marine. It looks like Myron. It's A-R-D-E-N-M-Y. I know, that's crazy. R-I-N as in Nancy. So I'm doing a reading and I'm having a conversation Saturday, October 24th. It's at 5 p.m. Central Time because The Tattered Cover is a great bookstore in Denver, Colorado. And it's going to be me and Kate Walsh from the Umbrella Academy and Grey's Anatomy. And you can get a signed book through them. And you can listen to Will You Accept This Rose? We're on iHeart. And you got your favorite hosts will be on this season and it'll be up starting again. We have episodes every week now, but the season starts on ABC on October 13th. So our episode will drop October 15th because we record the day after.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, you guys. What a treat.
Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Arden is she's one of a kind. All right. Kate.
Yo.
You were going to note your gratitude, which I have to say, I feel like you were always really good at noting your gratitude. So I was actually a little surprised that you were putting this down as an intention because I feel like that's something that you're just so good at.
Oh, no. It's been months since I really maintained a gratitude practice, like maybe even like a year since I've been doing a consistent one. And I can feel I'm just so like mentally and emotionally lethargic right now that I feel like shifting my perspective a little bit during this time would be really helpful. So what I have started doing at the beginning of October was I started a gratitude challenge for myself for the month, and I'm going to extend it a little bit past the full length of a month to go past the election because that's going to be a time. So yeah. I'm really trying to push myself to come up with gratitude each day. So it's a challenge. But it also has felt really good, really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. You know, it's like almost like, for example, you know, I can reflect on like how challenging a lot of, let's say, like the interactions with my kids are every day. But then I also doing this also forces me to kind of remember some of the more positive interactions that we've had or a moment when they really made me laugh or stuff like that. So that's been really nice.
Oh,
this week, Dory. This week, I am inspired by conversations we have had on recent episodes, and I'm going to really challenge myself to go out of my comfort zone this week. And I'm going to intend to floss twice a day.
This is big.
Ugh. To be clear, I went to bed last night. I brushed my teeth. I didn't floss. So this is going to be a push, but I'm here to meet the challenge.
Okay. I have faith in you.
Thank you. Well, yep, so my gums don't, but we'll see. All right. Last week, Dory, you were focused on decluttering.
I was, and I'm still going. I did not manage to declutter the whole rest of the house and the outdoor space, but I'm making dents. I'm feeling good. I feel like I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
That's great.
I mean, I don't know. Will I get the whole house decluttered? Probably not. But like, I think I will get it decluttered enough that I will feel more at peace.
I think this is wonderful. It also like feels unrealistic to do a whole house in a week. It's more like that kind of continued.
I do tend to bite off more than I can chew.
Okay.
Oh, well. So well, speaking this week, of. Exactly. This week, I want to try waking up early, which I know has long been something that you've been talking about. And I think
it was a challenge.
And it was a challenge.
Not a challenge, like an activity.
Yes. I also feel like I do wake up. I do wake up pretty early. I just like lie in bed for a while because I don't want to get up and face the day.
Yep.
And I'm going to try and force myself to face the day just a little bit earlier.
So what will that look like for you? You'll rise from your bed.
I will arise. I take my meds and my vitamins, and then I don't know if I will like, because I won't get Henry right away. Will I like read? Will I do some work? I don't know. I don't know what that will look like. I truly don't know. I know, me too. But I think that also means I have to start going to bed earlier, which again has been like a running theme of this podcast, but I've been going to bed too late.
Yeah, me too.
Just been going to bed too late. So gotta dial it back.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you so much. All right, everyone, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for listening. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Sam Reed is our project manager. Our network partner is Acast, and we will talk to you all in a couple of days. Bye.
Yeah, wait, Dori, before you go, play that drum roll one more time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Bye.